Southbrook, please rise for the singing of our national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red.
Game started. Here are your commentators, Buff and Roop.
That's right.
Yes.
Woohoo.
We're back. We made it.
Welcome to Some Kind of Church. We are glad you're here. It is time for our annual disclaimer that in case you Googled churches and just visited here and came expecting some type of traditional hymn sing, we'd like to let you know you've landed in the wrong place. We also know there may be things that you enjoy. We want to know, let you know what's coming. There's going to be homemade commercials that were created by some of you. There's going to be a halftime show. There's going to be all kinds of shenanigans and fun guests and some preaching and all that stuff, because we believe that even the NFL can be redeemed and used by God. So that's what we're up to.
Amen.
Here today. Mike, what are you here to do today?
I'm just here because I don't want to get fined.
I see.
Why I'm here.
Just here for the Skittles, right?
Here for the Skittles, the Gold Bears, the Skittles, the Twizzlers. Shout out to Centerville. Shout out to Esboro. Shout out to Emberg.
Is that all? What about the Beebrook?
Shout out to the Creek. Shout out to the Fairmont. Yeah. Some of them there.
All right. Well, I think some of you know what Mike is doing. We are here to both entertain and educate and inform and to educate for and maintain you.
I'm here.
Well, you know that he is doing his best Marshawn Lynch impersonation. We want to inform you of several of the narratives, the big stories going into this year's giant football game. One of them is, of course, Marshawn Lynch.
Yes, there are some big ones.
Held some good press conferences.
He did.
This weekend, we want you to know about that. Also, we're sure that you maybe have heard about the story where a certain team from New England had some footballs that were not properly inflated. We were actually able to secure one of the actual less than inflated footballs.
That is, they are bigger than they look like on television,
yeah.
Guys. This is real,
guys.
NFL. It's crazy.
Those football players are huge.
They should get paid
Mike,
a lot.
Mike, you're a scientist, right?
I am.
Could you tell us, why is this harder to catch than a fully inflated?
Well, there's less air in it.
Okay.
I didn't know that was coming.
A better answer, and I wouldn't have done that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a major thing, obviously, we know, going into the thing. Over in our small theater, I believe we have A mascot named Bill Belichick wandering the grounds has a part of our weekend extravaganza. So that's fun for everybody.
It's a lot of fun.
Now, one of the other giant stories that I don't know if you're aware of going into this weekend's big game is that Katy Perry, who is the halftime entertainment, she's actually, it's kind of sad, she's in a major feud with Taylor Swift.
Do tell.
I know, it's the truth.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. Okay. So, to find out more about this, we're going to send it out to a brand new feature for our Buff Roop show.
2015 style.
Exactly. Tyler Ashe, Epic Pastor and Field Reporter, is somewhere in the building. Is he there? I can't see it.
Tyler?
Tyler, are you there?
Yes, and I have a microphone that sometimes works. I'm putting my fingers on my ear because I've seen people do that.
It looks good at this angle.
And they always look confused and panicked and say things like, it's total pandemonium out here.
Is it?
No.
Is it total pandemonium?
We're under control, people.
I don't know. It looks like you got a wild one.
Shout out to the small theater.
Shout out. Stop. Okay. I'm here with my friend Linda. Linda, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable, Roop. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you a series of questions about this feud between Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, a.k.a. T-Swizzle. How do you feel about that?
I'm kind of in the dark.
It's a safer place to be. Now, first question for you. What are we going to hear Katy Perry sing? What is she going to do? What is she going to do? Here are the questions you got, or answers you got. Is she going to A, bark, B, chirp, C, roar, or D, yodel?
Come on, Linda.
Hey, stop messing with her. Lay off.
Yeah, lay off.
Linda says she's going to C, roar. That is correct. You're going to hear her
roar.
Can you roar?
No.
Good. Let's keep this thing dignified.
She did,
I like your attitude.
She did roar at you a little bit.
She did.
Stop. Second question. Talking about T-Swizzle, a.k.a. Taylor Swift. According to her, haters are gonna A, ventilate, B, circumnavigate, C,
that's a real word,
conjugate, or D, hate. Linda, I ask you, what are haters going to do?
They're going to hate.
Hate, hate, hate. You're right. It's amazing.
Linda knows what's up. She knows what's up.
She does.
She does know. She's got her ear to the ground. She knows what's happening in the
haters
streets.
Deflate.
Next question about Taylor. Taylor's just going to, when those haters hate, and they are going to hate, Taylor's just going to A, bake, 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 B, rake, 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 C, shake, 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 or D, and Roop's favorite, cake, cake, cake. What is she going to do, Linda?
Lying.
I'll say she's going to shake, shake, shake.
Linda is with it.
Woo! So smart.
Man. Okay.
That's a delicious
final
treat
question
also.
As we throw it back to Roop and Laura. Here's a question. Where is Taylor gonna write your name?
Oh, jeez. On her unknown list?
That's a great answer, and I have no idea what it means, but I'm scared. I'm genuinely frightened as a grown man.
Her onion list? Oh.
My group. You said onion list? We got counseling for people like you. She's going to put your name in a blank space.
See, the answer's right there.
Yes.
Right there.
We gave you the answer, Linda.
It's a blank space.
We like you.
We're
going
to throw it back to you guys.
All right.
Everybody give it up for Linda.
Way to go, Linda.
Way to go, Linda. This is me laying off.
Hey, just so you know, as we make our way through tonight, we have an official Southbrook Twitter account that we want you to know about if you're on the Twitter. You can follow us at Southbrook_PS. Also, if you take pictures or do videos or if you write funny, snarky things about the jokes that we say that don't work or about the songs or whatever, if you would hashtag that SBSB, then we could all join in the fun that we're going to have.
We've already started that.
Yeah, we've already been.
Buff.
So far, it's just us.
Yeah,
so
we're having a good time together.
In that. So I think we're going to have our very first commercial here about something. That's all I know.
Hey, Calvin. What's up?
Not much, man. Just get my coffee on. Hashtag Highlander Grog. Hashtag Fresh Brewed. Hashtag Straight Caffeine, homie. Hashtag Hype.
Speaking of hype, hashtag Ohio State. Hashtag National Champs. Hashtag Undisputed.
Man, that game was awesome. Did you know that your salvation's undisputed, too? Hashtag Saved by Grace. Hashtag Ephesians 2:8-9. Hashtag For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no man may boast. Hashtag One Not Done.
Don't have to earn it like everything else. Hashtag job. Hashtag car. Hashtag follow all these rules though. Hashtag I'm a good person. Hashtag grandmas love me.
You don't have to earn it. We were talking about this on Tuesday night at hashtag young adults. Hashtag 7 o'clock. Hashtag we'll pay you to come. Hashtag just kidding. Hashtag we're broke. Hashtag no money, no problems.
Hashtag shameless plug. But tonight's the Super Bowl. Favorite Super Bowl foods? Go. Hashtag cauliflower.
Hashtag lasagna.
Hashtag Captain Crunch.
Hashtag I can't believe it's not butter.
Hashtag Russell Wilson seems like a pretty good dude.
Hashtag Tom Brady wears Uggs.
Hashtag no deflated footballs.
Hashtag
shh. Service is about to start. Hashtag Charles the man. Hashtag dropping truth bombs. Hashtag Super Bowl weekend. Hashtag go Pats. Hashtag drop the mic.
Fantastic, huh? Yeah? Welcome to Super Bowl weekend in Southbrook, everybody. Yeah. This is our Super Bowl party. Yeah. It's our Super Bowl party. And we do this annually because it's the biggest day of the year in America kind of thing. And we love Sundays, too. So, you know, years ago, 40-some years ago, when Super Bowl started, they called it Super Sunday. And this is sort of our... Other than Easter, Super Sunday weekend. And in the Jewish calendar, Sunday started at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. So you guys are still outside the boundaries of Sunday, but you're almost there. We're going to this theme, because it's Arizona and it's sun. Anybody here ready for sunscreen yet, by the way? You know, I'm ready for sunscreen. I have a friend who says every good memory in his life had something to do with sunscreen, the smell of sunscreen. I'm ready for that. But we're going to talk a little bit about the power of a Sunday, the power of a Sunday. And then, of course, loosely associated, that is Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. I was a kid. Sundays were a big deal in our family because we were a church-going family. Anybody here was a church-going family? And we went to church, man. We went to church. We never missed church. And so Sundays were a big deal around our family. I remember my first Cleveland Browns game for two reasons. Number one, it was on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in a late November 1970. The Browns were playing the Houston Oilers. And I peaked. Heaven met me that day, because anybody here old enough to remember number 44 in your program, Leroy Kelly, but number one in your hearts of the Cleveland Browns. And I remember as an eight-year-old, I was in the presence of Leroy Kelly. Life was downhill from there. And so I remember that so much. But the second reason I remember it is I got to skip church. It was awesome. I remember going up Route 37, and I still remember the drive thinking, my sisters are in church right now, and I'm not. I'm not in church. And I remember my first game. It was so cold. It was so cold. Anybody ever been in Cleveland past Halloween? It's just a different kind of cold. And I remember it was so cold. And my dad's company had season tickets, so we sat in the same seats whenever we went. And for years we had the same beer vendor in our section. And I still remember this fella. He's just a brilliant marketer, because it'd be so cold there at the municipal stadium on the mistake on the lake there. And he'd walk around, everybody's freezing, chattering teeth. He'd say, beer here, beer here, antifreeze for the body, beer here. I was like, this is brilliant marketing, you know, brilliant marketing. But Sundays were a big deal. For me, Sundays meant clean. Anybody here, like, you had your bath on Saturday night? I mean, I could fake it the rest of the week, but I had to be clean on Sundays. So Saturday nights meant a bath, and there was no faking it because, you know, mom did, you know, she made sure I was clean. I associate cleanliness with Lawrence Welk. Because I still remember smelling clean when, and the one, and the two, I came on the TV at 7 o'clock every Saturday night. Lawrence Welk. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about at all. Yeah, I still remember that. Sundays meant chicken in our family. Anybody here? Like, it was a special day, so we got to have Kentucky Fried Chicken. They didn't call it KFC in those days. They were unashamed. It was cholesterol on a bone, man. Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Colonel's own original recipe. So after church on Sundays, my dad would go down to Cedar Street in Newark, and he would get the family bucket. Remember those? The family bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And, you know, Dad was great because he got us Kentucky Fried Chicken. And then we also got pop on Sundays. We were a tea and a Kool-Aid family, but on Sundays we got pop. And it was awesome. You know, we had that to look forward to. We were kind of a deprived family, okay? And Sundays were special. Sundays were special because they meant sports for us. Because either our cousins would come over or we would go over to their house and we would watch sports go in the yard. Go back and watch some sports go in the yard. In the fall, it meant football. And we would watch football, and then we would go in the yard and fight. And then we would go back in, and we would watch football, and then we'd go out in the yard. And so for me, I'm programmed Sunday afternoons in the fall. What do they mean, people? Football! There can be no DVR reruns of The Good Wife on Sunday afternoon. No Meg Ryan rom-coms on TV on the Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoons mean football, right? Now, it's interesting. For the last 30 years of my life, I've spent Sundays talking to people. For 30 years, I've talked to people on Sundays. I counted this week, just for fun, I have spent 1,334 Sundays, my best estimate, talking to people. That's a lot of sleepy people on Sunday. A lot of sleepy people. But I remember we got to the point in 1998 as a church when Sundays weren't enough, so we had to start doing it on Saturdays. And my wife was the children's minister at the time, in charge of all the volunteers. And I still remember at our house on Willowhurst Street in Centerville, and I'm sitting across the kitchen table, and I'm said, "Cher, it's it. It's a done deal. We got to do Saturday nights. We got to go to Saturday nights. Sundays aren't enough. You're going to have to get more volunteers." And she looked at me and she said, "You better get a good night's sleep tonight, because we're going to talk about some things in the morning." That's the worst thing that you can say to a man at nighttime, is we're going to talk about. But Sundays are special. And what we're going to talk about a little bit later is why. Is why. But right now, we got to hype it up a little bit, and then we're going to see a couples comedy and cupcake commercial. Say that fast three times. And so get ready for Saul and the team to hype us up a little bit on Super Bowl. Everybody ready? Come on, give them a hand. Give them a hand. Yeah.
To buy my special someone on Valentine's Day 13 kittens.
I just love my 17 cats.
You know, originally there were 13, but I feel like there's more. I can't put my finger on it.
I give some of my cats the same name so he won't know.
You know, when I originally bought the kittens, I thought they'd be a great gift. But now I've come to find out that kittens are great and playful and fun, but they eventually turn into cats. And honestly, cats are horribly mean, they're bipolar, narcissistic, they're conceited, pretentious, and they pee on everything.
I love my cats. I mean, they're just so much fun, the way they cuddle in bed with me, and yeah, sure, they make messes, but who really cares? It's okay. They're literally our lives.
They are her life. In fact, when I get home from a long day at work and I just want to get in bed and go to sleep, I can't because Furball's taking a siesta on my pillow.
You know, I'm not really sure what he's doing for me for Valentine's Day this year, but I really, really hope he gets me 13 puppies.
There is absolutely no possible way that I am bringing any more animals into our house. Last year I made the mistake of getting her 13 felines that reproduce like crazy. I am not doing that again. This year, we're going to couples comedy and cupcakes.
Couples Comedy and Cupcakes, Friday, February 13th. To purchase your tickets, go online to southbrook.org.
Ready for some football? Here's the second quarter.
One of the great things about Sunday afternoons is Sunday afternoons are great nap times, aren't they? I mean, what is Sunday afternoons? You know, remember Lionel Richie? What did he say? Easy like Sunday morning or some other Sunday afternoon. And the cool thing about being in church is some people get their naps out of the way. And there is this great passage. Look at this on the screen. This is just a great, great story from the book of Acts. That's the history of the early church. And look at what this says. This says, on the first day of the week, the early church met on Sunday because that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So that's why they said, hey, we're going to meet, we're going to celebrate that. And Jesus said the kingdom of God would be a party. And they really, that's basically what they did. They celebrated on the first day of the week and they would do a little preaching and some praying together. And it says, we came together to break bread. That just simply means to eat and to do the holy meal of communion together. And it says, Paul spoke to the people. And because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. And I think this is Luke's way of saying, we wish there hadn't been as many lamps. Because seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus. Now, his name was Eutychus. And the easy way to remember, I always remembered that, was because Eutychus too, if you had happened to you, what happens to him here? Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. On and on. When he was sound asleep, okay, he wasn't just, you know, he was sound asleep. He fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Why are you people laughing? That is not funny. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man. That is funny. And put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. And then he went upstairs again. And started to preach. No, he didn't. He broke bread and he ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. Now, if you don't think there's humor in the Bible, you have never read sections like that section. You have never read that. And verse 12 says, the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Yeah. What happened to you today at church, Eutychus? I died. I fell asleep. But I was resuscitated, resurrected from the dead. What happened to you, church? Huh? And this is you know, the amazing thing about this is I have done something the great apostle Paul did in preaching. I have put people to sleep. I have done that. Some people have heard me so long that I've just heard it all, and they just fall asleep as soon as I start talking. And I've seen people drool on their Bibles. I've seen people bump their heads on the chair in front of them. I heard about a man one time whose wife nudged him to wake up, and he stood up in the middle of the church and had the closing prayer right there. He just thought, you know, he was done. He was over with. Now, one time, no kidding, when I was in Kentucky, my early parts of ministry, when I was in Kentucky, I was down in Grant County, Kentucky. Let's give it up for Kentucky right here. Okay, give it up for Kentucky. There was a church in Pendleton County, Kentucky, and a guy named Oder there. His name was Oder. Ivan Oder. No kidding. That was his name. Ivan Oder. You thought your name was bad. Okay? Ivan Oder. And Ivan one night, so this was back in the day when churches had church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just couldn't get enough church all the time. And Sunday night church, it was the year the Bengals were in the Super Bowl. He was a religious dude, so he knew he had to be in church. But you remember those little TVs with the tall antennas? He takes one to the back at Grassy Creek Church in Pendleton County, Kentucky, and he sits on the back row and turns the TV on while the preacher's preaching. He could check off that he'd been in church, but he was watching the Bengals, man. He was watching the Bengals. Now, I just got to tell you, if I had seen that happen, I would have marched back there and sat down and watched it with him. I'm telling you right now. Absolutely. We've had some funny things happen with this. But one of my favorite stories, and you will love this, if you've ever heard a sermon that went on too long, and hopefully tonight will not be one of those nights, but if you've ever heard a sermon that went too long, one time we had one of our young guys, interns, who had just learned to start preaching. Well, he hadn't learned to stop preaching. Okay, he learned to start. He knew how to get the plane off the ground, but he couldn't land the plane. And he had started preaching, and we used to have this event on Sunday nights called 8:32. You remember that, Buff? You guys remember that? 8:32 was for young adults and high schoolers predominantly, but all kinds of people would come to this, and we did this event every Sunday night. And this young just started preaching but didn't know how to stop yet. Preacher started preaching, and he was on to an hour, okay, and still not reached altitude yet. Because he's an hour, and then he says, now, I've got 15 more minutes that I want to say this to you. And no kidding, a guy right in the front row, he just wasn't going to withhold his consternation. He goes, oh my gosh. I said, yeah, he wasn't meaning trying to be funny. It was just like, let my people go, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. No kidding. It happened here at Southbrook. Well, what we're going to learn in a little bit is there's one thing worse than falling asleep at church, okay? And there are worse places to fall asleep than a church. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But hey, let's hear from Buff and Roop again, okay? Let's hear from Buff and Roop.
That was some riveting stuff there, Charlie.
All right, so to keep going with, we want to inform you going into this weekend's big events. We learned this over this last week that 1 in 4 Americans believes that God chooses the Super Bowl winner.
Yes.
So we don't know if any of those people are here, but the stats seem to prove that 1 in 4 Americans, so we're Americans, most of us. Mike, you are a scientist and a mathematician.
And American.
How many people in this room, if it's true that it's 1 in 4, how many people in this room believe God picks the Super Bowl?
The seating in this room is for 1,470 people.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that 70 chairs are empty. So that rounds to 1,400.
Okay.
25% of 1,400 is 350. So 350 people in this room believe, by the statistics, that the Super Bowl is chosen by God.
Interesting. Now, If you think God picks the Super Bowl winner, how many of you think God would choose Seattle? Anybody want to say they think God chooses Seattle? It's really dark in here, so I don't know if any of you are raising your hands. Maybe you're just raising your hand in your heart. That's fine. Anybody think God would choose New England? Anybody? I'm gonna give it one guy. Okay. Now, when you really boil this down, it's sort of like maybe God is picking by team. How do you think God might pick a winner, Mike? What do you think?
I think it's by the syllables in middle names of people.
I don't think that's correct.
But what do you think then, Buff?
I think it might be by cities, which city God likes the most.
Oh,
and if you really boil down which city God likes the most, it really boils down to a competition between Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. Because Seattle is the home of Starbucks.
I like
Starbucks. Boston is famous for not having any Starbucks because they so love their Dunkin' Donuts.
I like Dunkin'
Donuts.
So
to do a little more science and research, we're going to send it back out to Tyler Ash and maybe Linda. I don't know. She might still be hanging around out there.
Getting a donut.
And we're going to do a little research on how much our people, what they think about Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. So Tyler, can you hear us now? Tyler?
I can hear you guys. It's total pandemonium and Linda is lost.
Oh, no.
Can you see it?
And I'm scared. I'm really scared.
We're just laughing at you.
Stupid. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a taste test. And I have Darren and Amber here, and they're going to sample the fares of both of these cities and see if they can tell what it is. So, are you ready?
Let's just get this clear.
Yes.
They're determining whether they're eating a donut or drinking coffee.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
We have so much confidence
but
in South Brookers.
They can't see, though.
To,
yeah, so it's total,
that's not that easy.
It's a blind,
look at him. He's not flinching.
Taste test.
Didn't flinch a bit. Fearless and ready to try
I'm
the
nervous
fare.
With anticipation.
All right. Why don't you pick up the object in your left hand and sip or take a bite of it? Unbelievable. Let's see. Darren, what is in your left hand?
That's coffee.
Good job, Darren.
You're so good.
Way to go.
Amber, what did you sample?
A donut.
Amazing. Let's go to the second object. Your right hand. Ready? Go. Yeah. It just happened. Amber, what was that?
Coffee.
She's a sharp one.
Darren?
You know, I'm not real sure.
Don't play with my emotions.
I think it was a donut.
Way to
there
go
you
down.
Have it. You guys can remove the blindfolds and see that you were right. Southbrook once again coming through. Now, who's going to win the game?
Seattle.
I just want the donut. Back to you guys. Thank you guys very much.
You guys can do that at home if you would like. See if your results come out as astounding.
I want a donut.
You gave your donuts away.
I know.
We've got plenty of snacks here. All right, so commercials obviously are a big part of the Super Bowl every year. This year, in fact, just so you know, in case you are not a Katy Perry fan, YouTube is actually hosting their own Super Bowl halftime event. Where several YouTube celebrities, because we live in a world where that is a thing.
It is a thing.
Will be performing a halftime show on YouTube.
It's going to be fun.
Now, Mike, you know a little bit more about this. How do people get famous enough to be in a YouTube celebrity halftime show?
They make funny videos and they post them and then a lot of people tune in.
So what's one of your most favorite videos that
you've had? I want to say that we're going to be able to watch one of my favorite videos here momentarily. Am I correct?
I don't know. Let's just see. Let's just sit here awkwardly
for a second.
Let's
just wait for like 19 minutes. Now, here's the thing. That's funny, and I wonder if that ball she threw was deflated. That's a big dog. I want to ride that dog. I mean, not... Okay, let's get things going. Let's get things moving. I stepped in something, that's clear. Get us out of that, Buff.
Here's a bong commercial.
We served over 25,000 people.
In 8 locations throughout Dayton.
During the holiday season, we gave out 500 Thanksgiving baskets.
Over 6,500 volunteer hours were needed to do this.
I think Bog is what I wish I could be.
I volunteer with Bog because I believe in the mission. I believe in what you guys are doing, loving and serving our neighbors and finding a tangible way to do it. We've lived in Miamisburg for 12 years now, and we've constantly been searching for ways to love and serve our neighbors, and the ministry of Bog makes that real easy.
We're trying to help other people.
Trying to help other people.
The really cool thing about those of you who are guests this weekend is you get to see what a weekend is like every weekend around here. We really neat. We don't understand why people criticize us so much. We don't really get that. That was fun, wasn't it? That was fun. Wow. That was just so much fun. Yeah, just a little bit of work that was put into that. Just a little bit, yeah. One of the things about Sundays, even still today. You know, we don't have Sunday law anymore. Some of you remember back in the day when stores couldn't be open on Sunday. You know, it was meant to be a day of utter shutdown your life. And those of you who have kids in youth sports know that is gone, okay? That time no longer exists. But it is the closest thing we have to what I call a hit the pause button day. It's the closest thing we have to just slowing down and doing a little bit of reflecting on the basics of life. And here is the great passage in the New Testament on this. James chapter 4. Look at this on the screen with me. James chapter 4 says, now listen. Listen. You who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. And even the structure of that sentence is like people who are just skimming through life. You know, you're just like, it's moving so fast, there's no time to pause and say, okay, this is a football. This is the basic thing of life. There's no time for that. And he says, well, you don't even know what'll happen tomorrow. First thing James says there is life is so fragile, first of all. And he's not speaking against planning for tomorrow. What he's speaking against is the presumption that there will be a tomorrow. It keeps us so often from living in the present, right? Urban Meyer is a football coach you may have heard of. And our own Josh Myers committed to The Ohio State University this week. Yes, yeah, Josh, give it up for Josh. Best decision a South Brooker has made in a long time, I tell you what. But he says, you know, life's so fragile, you don't even know what's going to happen. So Urban Meyer has this saying. He says, you know, be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. The great missionary David Alexander said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the fullest every moment you know to be in the will of God. And that's what he's saying. You don't know what will happen, so don't live always out into the future. But also, life is fragile. He says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The Bible uses over 18 metaphors to describe the brevity of life. It talks about a tale that is quickly told, a ship that passes in the night, grass that quickly withers, flowers that quickly fade. I mean, it has all these pictures to say, when I was a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth, I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When then as the older I grew, time flew. Soon I'll find while traveling on, time's gone. That's the way life is. And one of my favorite baptisms ever is one of our guys here got baptized one time, and he was experienced. He was a chronologically gifted individual in his mid-70s, and his testimony, I'll never forget it, he said, you know, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And it's so true. It's so true. He says, you're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're like fog. Aren't you glad you came to hear all this good news? And instead, you ought to say, let's try to live within God's will. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And what that's saying is, it doesn't mean that every time you do something, well, if God willing, I'll go off this stage in a minute. God willing, I'll go off this. No, it's not what that. It's saying, living with a perspective that, what might God be saying to me? What's he trying to get my attention toward? And what am I going to do about it? That's the idea. This is the unexamined life is not worth living. That's what this is. And he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. In other words, a sure way to go off path is to never hit the pause button. Who was it that said, man is the most curious of animals. He's the only one that goes faster when he's lost. When he's lost. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this, seize life, each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. He was simply saying what James was saying. Life is so fragile. Make sure that you pause enough to not miss it. To not miss it. And this is when we start getting close to what makes Sundays really important. Before I tell you what that is, take a look at commercial number 3 as we end the third quarter.
Thank you to Grammy, Papa, Sonny, Chelsea, Jason, Mommy, Abby, Eric, Dedra, Zick. You are my to the Lord, all he lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know he that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 100. O-H-I-O.
Give it up for Chandler Steele and the yo-yo thing. Whoa. Whoa. Holy cow. That was amazing. He just picked that up yesterday. Would you believe that? You know, there's a lesson in that. That if you want to be a spiritual giant, you got to work at it a little bit, right? I mean, that guy, boy, that's an amazing, that's like a spiritual experience watching him do that. It's amazing the hours that represents. And it's a little bit what I'm going to get to here as we close this thing out. There's a great old philosopher named Billy Crystal who said, enjoy this time in your life, kids, because this is a time in your life when you have choices and it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. In your 20s, go like a blur. Your 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think, what happened to my 20s? In your 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin, and music starts getting too loud, and one of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. In your 50s, you have minor surgery. You call it a procedure, but it's surgery. It's surgery. Your 60s, you have major surgery, and the music's still too loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anymore, especially after tonight. And your 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale, and you start eating dinner around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. You spend most of your time wandering around the mall looking for the ultimate soft yogurt. And in your 80s, you'll have a major stroke, and you'll end up babbling with some Jamaican nurse whom your wife can't stand, but you call mama. Any questions? And that's great wisdom because it's true. And the other great philosopher who would now be 48, if you can believe it, Ferris Bueller, said life moves pretty fast. And if you don't stop and look around every once in a while, you might miss it. You might miss it. And you know what we do here on Saturday night, Sunday? Is we stop. That's what we do. We stop. And we hit the pause button. Because the faster you go, the harder you can crash and the easier it is to miss stuff. Look at these words from Ephesians 5:15. The great apostle Paul, who put people to sleep, by the way. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I'm a big follower of Formula One and IndyCar racing, and you know, every once in a while you get to hear the radios and you'll hear the technicians, the manager and the pit box saying, box, 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 box. Especially in the Formula One, because that means get in the pit box. It's time to get in the pit box. There are times you got to get in the pit box. And that, you know why what we do here on weekends is valuable? Because it's the one time, if you build it into your rhythm, that you get to get in the pit box. And you get to recalibrate things and refuel before you crash. Some of you remember last weekend I got to do the host spot for this weekend and really try to motivate you to fill a row. Anybody fill a row tonight? I hope somebody fill a row. Yeah, you brought a bunch of friends. I hope so. And what I did is I had this ball. I was carrying this ball. This is a real NFL ball with Paul Tagliabue. I've had this for 25 years. My brother-in-law gave it to me. But when you saw it last week, it was flat. It was an official New England Patriots practice ball was what it was. It was completely flat. And somebody had told me that if you put $20 and you put Wilson Sporting Goods, Ada, Ohio, and you put it in the mail, They'll redo any NFL ball. And so I called a lady up on Monday. And I said, will you do that? She said, absolutely. She said, it may take 4 to 6 weeks because, you know, the Super Bowl. And I said, you mean the Super Bowl is more important than my ball? She said, yes, it is. So I put it in FedEx Monday. Friday, I get it back in the box. This is my football. Isn't that great? Fully inflated and just, you know. And you know why? You know why it was deflated? Nobody had done it. It's because over time, the bladder, what they call the interior of the ball, deteriorates due to pressure and just plastic. It just deteriorates. And over, I tried every which way of myself to fix it. I mean, there are glue marks on here where I tried to fix it, and I couldn't. And somebody finally told me, hey, the place who made it will fix it. Your soul is that bladder, and you can't fix it on your own. How's that for a biblical lesson on a football playing, huh? Huh? Yeah? And you may look good on the outside, but if your bladder is flat, which is kind of a funny thing for a 53-year-old man to say, if your bladder is flat, you're not alive. And the great thing about what we do here, amen, is we come in here and we get our souls fixed because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. We need grace. And we would love for you. This is just a shameless plug for what we do around here. We do this so that you'll come back. That you'll come back. And maybe God wants to fix your soul. Because the most important thing that we hear, and those of you who are regulars here know this, is we hear we are beloved children of the Most High God with supreme value and worth, just as we are today. And when we believe we have been loved with an infinite love, we have an infinite capacity to love. Amen? Commercial number 4 says it so well. Take a look, and then we're done.
Final word there. All right, yeah. I think we've had a good time here.
Yeah.
I have to call a flag on you, Charlie.
Penalty.
I have to call a flag. This is a real flag, not one of those NFL flags where they take it back sometimes. A real flag.
I know.
You forgot offering.
I did.
Which is a major penalty.
I thought we flagged Jason Hill's roster putting it on the screen.
This costs money to do this, okay?
So if there are people back there prepared to come forward to take up offering, and if there are people out there prepared to give offering, we're going to do that now.
And let's do this. Let's do this.
No, let's not do that.
No man's up.
Let's do this.
No man's up.
I don't actually see.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay,
I know.
Some of them are coming.
Terrible.
So push pay or give money and stuff. We've been following the service, obviously. Mike,
I've been jotting down
learned
notes.
Some stats.
Copious notes.
Sweet.
And so what I want to do. Well, you just wait, okay? Now, Laura gave us some stuff up front before the service of things you might want to know for the Super Bowl. And what I did was I wrote down things that we've learned while being here together. And so just first thing I learned is you can eat too many Skittles.
It's a true story.
Just wait a couple days.
Believe that.
You'll relearn that.
Next baby name, Eutychus? Three. Nice. Halftime shows at Southbrook are awesome.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
Hashtag no disrespect to Charlie Mack. Number four, yo-yos. Who knew?
Oh, yeah, baby. Chandler.
Number five, Buff Roop? No. Buff Ash Roop. Yes.
Don't say that fast.
Don't say that fast. It's real slow and enunciated.
Problems.
Which leads into my final statement, which is sometimes what you mean to say and what you say don't match. But people laugh at you anyway. That's it.
All right.
It's really
Give
good.
It up for the Roop stuff.
Really good.
Yeah, baby. You got anything?
That's it.
Well, here's what's cool about all this is, hey, Mike, hold on
okay,
a second.
Hey,
I know that when you're done talking, you're done, okay? But here's
me.
What's cool about this is we're in the middle of a series called How to Lose Your Religion, which is so cool to come into church and learn about how to lose your religion. And so next week is we're going to learn about why you should never have to go to church again. Anybody interested in that? Why you never have to go to church again. So invite your friends to that. If you enjoyed this, give these guys a hand.
Wait, but you have to come.
I'm confused.
You have to come to learn why
you never have to go to church again. So you got to go one more time.
The irony of the church.
You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you hopefully next weekend. Yeah.